Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
It's good to see the church filling up finally. People coming back and new people coming in, and we know that our God is real. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And here's Luke is speaking to a teacher and an instructor. And he's saying, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order the narrative of these things which have been fulfilled among us. Now remember, these writers, we're talking 2,000 years ago. Some of you here remember grandparents that couldn't write and read. Some of you remember aunts and uncles that couldn't read and write. These are sharp men, women that God called and talked to. They understood what was going on in the day. And he said, I want to give an accurate account of these things, so that you understand why we're here and what we stand for. Just as in those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seems good for me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of these things in which we were instructed. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words. Lord, I thank you for giving us an honest account, an orderly account of the things that happened, that we might have faith and understand that they happened because you made them happen. And we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If I ask you if you remembered a Christmas sermon that a preacher preached, most of you would say, no, but I think he preached about the manger scene and about Jesus being born. But the message that we remember are messages that challenge us. They're messages that will encourage us in a place where we're at that seem difficult to get out of. Or it will challenge us and anger us because we know we are in that position and we don't want to do what the Bible says to do, at least on how the pastor expresses that we ought to do it. So this week, as I was studying and thinking of all the messages, and there's 100 that you can speak of during this time of year, I looked at what Luke said. Inasmuch as we have taken in hand to set in order a narrative. So let me set in order a narrative for you about the things that happened and the things that we could talk about. But if we talked about them, it may make you angry. And of course, we wouldn't want that. So we don't want to speak on some of those things, like Gabriel talking to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and then Gabriel coming again 6 months later and speaking to Mary. God actually sent the archangel Gabriel, and he spoke to them, and he spoke to them in a language that they understood, and they knew it was Gabriel. We have a God that can speak in and through, not just in an entity, but in a person. He can speak. Well, preacher, I haven't necessarily seen that, haven't you? I could tell you, I haven't necessarily seen that, but I've heard God speak many times. From the time that he called me to preach out under the wing of that airplane when I was in the Navy, to when we were living out in Sylvania and I had a water conditioning company that was doing very, very well. And I walked into the garage, and God said, I didn't call you to run a business. I called you to build a church. Was it an audible voice? I'll tell you one thing, you didn't want to say no to it. Sometimes God will call on us and he will speak to us and he will speak directly to you, and you know exactly what you're to do and you know why you're supposed to do it. But have you ever thought what would have happened if Mary would have said no? Elizabeth was having a child in her old age. That was a miracle. But Gabriel came and told Mary what was going to happen. What if she would have said no? What would happen if you say no to God when you know that God's telling you what to do? I could preach on that, but it may anger some people, so I won't preach on that. Then I thought maybe I could preach on the innkeeper. You know, when we see the manger scene and we see the live manger scene and we see a door over here and we see someone knocking on the door, Mary and Joseph, and Mary's about to have a baby, and the old gruff innkeeper comes to the door and says, I don't have any room in the inn. Slams the door and out they go. I mean, what a mean, bad guy. He wasn't a mean, bad guy. He didn't have any rooms. You know, we have from time to time, some people will call the church and they'll say, we want to get married. Will the pastor marry us, and can we use the church on a Saturday? And yes, of course you can. Of course you can. Then Mary will say, what date? And they'll say, well, June the 16th. Mary says, oh, I'm sorry. We already have a wedding book for June the 16th. Mary's not a mean, bad person. She just doesn't have any room. Maybe God's came to you for something and you can't give him what he asked for. But perhaps, just as the innkeeper, you can give him what he needs. Out of what you have, you don't have exactly what it's needed, but you have something that can be used. I could preach on that, and it would speak to some people, but it might anger some that say, I think it's okay to give out of my abundance, but what when God asked me to sacrifice? The manger? We could speak about that. I believe Jesus was supposed to be born in a manger. I believe that as they were traveling on that donkey, it may have had a flat tire, so they got into Bethlehem a little bit late and the inn was full. I believe that God had a plan that Jesus was to be born in order to show that he was born to the entire world. Not just shut up and sterilized like we do in the church, and we say the church, in order to be a member of this church, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. We keep adding regulations and legalities unto it until no one's welcome but us. You know what it is? The Bible says what you need to do to be a member of the church, be born again. That's what it says. You're born again into Christ, and when you're in Christ, you're in his kingdom. You're in his kingdom, you're in his church. Well, some people that are born again just don't act right. We're supposed to teach and to train. And the Bible tells us how to do that, and it even tells us what to do if they're unruly. Yeah, I could preach on the manger scene and what it means to be there. I could preach about the shepherds coming. You know, kind of the outcast of the society, those who couldn't shower every day, those who slept in a tent or on the side of the ground under the stars. That wouldn't necessarily be welcome if they walked through many church doors, but here they come in order to see the one who was born, the one who the angels appeared to them and said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth and goodwill to men. Perhaps I could preach on the Prince of Peace, who Jesus was called from the time he was born. Peace in a world that's divided politically, peace of the world that's divided by sickness, peace in the world that's divided by economy, peace in the world that's divided by everything you can think of that could divide us. And God said he brings peace. And then I could challenge you to find peace with your brother, peace with your sister, peace with your cousin, peace with your mother and dad. Work at it. Allow Jesus Christ to come into it and fulfill it. Or maybe, perhaps, a good sermon would be on the wise men that followed a star. Were they astrologists when the Bible teaches against that? What were they looking for? They weren't Jews. How could they, looking in a place where God told them not to necessarily look for guidance, find guidance in a place where they're at? Well, I can tell you, I know people that got saved in a bar room. I know people that got saved on the wrong path, going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, that God showed up. Just as Paul did on the road to Damascus, and he was out looking up Christians in order to bring them in and have them prosecuted, and he saw Jesus Christ. And it knocked him off his horse. And it blinded him. And God opened his eyes, and he wrote most of the New Testament. You may be going down the wrong road, or your son or daughter or brother or sister down the wrong road. Don't you think God can't find them? You need to pray for them. I could preach on why did they bring gold and frankincense and myrrh? Did they save the gold for later to give it to Jesus when he turned 30 so he'd have a nest egg? Did they invest it? Did they use it to bribe the soldiers as they took Jesus across the border into Egypt? What was the gold used for? Why did they bring it? What did they think the need was? Frankincense. 5 billion people love it, and 60 million Englishmen gag at it. Just the smell of it. Why would they bring frankincense? What was the deeper meaning of that? Or myrrh, an embalming fluid. Who would bring that to a baby? Maybe they saw that Jesus' birth was showing his death and his resurrection from the dead. Perhaps they understood something that we didn't understand as they followed that star day and night and day and night. Has God given you a star? Has he given you a place and a goal where you ought to be and where you ought to look and where you ought to be roaming? And are you taking the steps towards that light every day of your life? Are you taking the steps to be more like him every day of your life? Or, I thought I could preach about Joseph. What about Joseph? You ever see the manger scene? You know, like I said, you got the grumpy guy over here that maybe wasn't so grumpy. Maybe he was just doing God's will. And you got Mary, which every little girl wants to play Mary at the manger scene. But who's Joseph? What'd he do? Why didn't the Bible record more about Joseph? Well, he ran a carpenter shop. What if God just asked you to work in order for his mission to be accomplished? What if that is what God called you to do? Are you willing to do it? As I went through all of these narratives, from the wise man to the innkeeper to the Egyptians accepting Jesus across the borders, to the shepherds, to Mary, to Joseph. If I preached on any one of those, some of you here would be uncomfortable no matter which one I preached on. It'd be a different group according to each one that I talked about. And then there's another subject here, that it doesn't matter where you speak about it, someone will feel uncomfortable. God came to earth to show us that death was not the end. You can take the Hubble telescope or this new telescope they've had out there for a while. You can take the rover that went to Mars. You can look as far as you can look and you can't find life. What I'm telling you, we're it. Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He came to give us peace. We better be helping one another because this is all we've got. We're not going to look for something strange out there that's going to change everything. Something very familiar to us can change everything, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Those who are born of the flesh are flesh, and those who are born of the spirit are spirit. Nicodemus said, what do you mean? Should I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Those people thought the same way we think now. He said, being born again of incorruptible seed. When you grasp Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead, it's different than any other religion that's ever been spread in this world. You grasp eternity. And when you take a hold of eternity, the things of the world grow dim. When you take a hold of eternity, you realize that you can turn your cheek. You realize that you can give your coat as well as your shirt away and don't worry about it. When you accept eternity, you can accept walking through the hospitals and you can accept walking out of the cemetery because you believe, because you have seen the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says you must be born again. Do we get excited when someone accepts Christ? I remember when I did, I went through catechism class in Methodist Church in a little town that I grew up in. And my sister is 4 years older than me, and I acted up in catechism class every week. So she'd go home and tell on me, so I'd get in trouble about what I did at catechism class, the answers that I gave, knowing they weren't right, but they were funny. And I remember the last day of catechism class, and everybody had left, and I'd helped the preacher take down the table and the chairs that we had setting up at the front altar where we met. We didn't have many rooms in that church building. And he stood at the back door and put his arm around me and said, Bobby, have you ever given your life and heart to Jesus Christ? And I remember I just started crying. And we walked down to the altar, and I prayed and said, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want to live for you. I believe in you. And gave my life to Christ. And he said, now I want you to go home and tell your mom, tell your dad. And I said, okay. Now I didn't know how they would respond. Mom and dad went to church. Dad was a song leader in church. I didn't know. But we hadn't talked about me being saved before. So I went home and I said, Mom, I gave my heart and life to the Lord. Oh, great, that's wonderful. I mean, she got excited. I thought, she got excited like when Jim was born, you know. That was really neat. She said, go tell your grandma and grandpa. My granddad was a preacher and they lived just across the street. And I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. I'll go tell them. And I went and told grandma and grandpa and they got excited and grandma got out ice cream. And I mean, it was just a big day. Bob had given his life to the Lord. And I thought, I can't wait to tell Dad. And Dad came home and Dad got excited. And I thought, why didn't I get saved a lot sooner? This is a lot of fun. This is really good. We need to let our children know and our grandchildren know that being born again is seeing eternity, seeing an empty grave, that Jesus rose from the dead. And when they see that, they too will live forever and they will grasp that, which will give them peace through their life. through all of their life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And they'll get that. And don't be afraid to talk to them about it, because it's real. It's real. And for 2,000 years, men and women have stood up for what they saw in Jesus Christ. Men and women have died for what they believed in Jesus Christ. And you'll say, preacher, you believe that Jesus was, listen, in the beginning, that he created all things? The Bible says this in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Yes, I believe. I believe that you cannot bring order out of chaos with time. I think it takes a creator to bring order out of chaos. I believe, and I think any intelligent being would believe this, that it takes creation is the only sensible way of looking at how we got here. Because if evolution were true, man and woman can't have a child until they get together. And the seed and the egg come together. So you mean there wasn't an evolutionary process? There had to be two. One developed as a male and the other developed as a female. They would have all died out. The whole human race would have died out before the organs would have been put together in the man and the male, female. And he didn't just do it with us. He did it with cats and with dogs and with chickens and with everything else. Even with fruit trees. The fertilizing. God said, and I will give life. He gave life here on earth that he said that man cannot comprehend. Every place you look up in the air and you see life in the air with birds, and you see life in the sea. You see life in the salt sea. You see life in the lakes. You see, pick up a rock and you see life. He said, I'll give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And God reached down and took this chaos. And you say, well, explain to me what God is. I don't know. You explain to me what the universe is. My mind just can't see it all. Has the universe been forever? If it has, then God's been forever. Look at your neighbor. What attracted you to your husband or to your wife? What is it about that drives you? God had to do it. So God set in order 2,000 years before Jesus was born. He set in order showing man that the Messiah would come. And he wrote down all these 500 prophecies about what Jesus would be when he did come. And when he came, he fulfilled them. But he upset the religious court. They had their position by position. But on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved and baptized in the center of Jerusalem. Why? Because they understood what was written in the prophecies, and they knew that Jesus had rose from the dead. If God is God, and we needed to see eternity, we had to see him through Jesus Christ. And we can. The Bible says if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So it doesn't matter what I spoke on today. Some of you would be comfortable and forget it. Some of you will be uncomfortable and remember it. Whether it's the wise men, the innkeeper, the Egyptians, the shepherd, Mary, Joseph, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for who you are, and you are all these things we talked about today. And Lord, every time we read this and we come up with a question, we find that the Bible has an answer. And that answer comes through you, our Lord and Savior. So Lord, we know you're real because you answer our prayers. But you said the world can't see you because you're spiritually discerned. Open our eyes, Lord, that we might see who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.